We are certainly living in a digital world where trickery and deceit seem to be the new normal. To help us navigate through all this, digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, there certainly has been a lot of bad information going around just the past few days, hasn't there?
Yeah, there really has. And it's been really hard to keep up with how quickly stories just have spiraled out of control.
Yes, let's talk about that. And you've been watching this for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've been doing it for many years, and it's painful to watch. I mean, social media platforms, they've really become hotbeds for misinformation, disinformation, and various scams, to your previous point.
Yes, and I know that there is a difference between misinformation and disinformation. Talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely important. So misinformation is false or inaccurate information spread without malicious intent. It just happens to be out there and getting a lot of attention. While disinformation is deliberately sending false information and spreading it to deceive people. Now, both can have serious consequences.
And we mentioned scams, so we're talking about things like phishing, right?
Yeah, exactly. In a phishing scam, online attackers trick people into revealing personal information. At least that's a big function of what a phishing scam is. When we combine all of that together, it becomes very clear why vigilance is so essential.
Talk a little bit about how these things play out on social media.
Yeah, sure. So let's start with misinformation. We've all seen the spread of health-related falsehoods, like misleading info about COVID. Or political, anything political. Disinformation might include fake news stories designed to influence public opinion or to just increase discord. The other day, there was a story about a website that popped up. It featured stories that looked very, very real, but it turns out it was planted by Russia. And phishing scams often appear as seemingly legitimate messages. They look like they're from your bank, or they look like or a social media platform asking a user to verify their account. But what you're doing is you're clicking on a malicious link.
And the tie to all those three is how we react to them, isn't it?
That's exactly right. We spread misinformation and disinformation. Well, for misinformation, at least, often because we don't know any better. We're duped or we believe what's fake. With phishing, it's so tempting to just click a link because you think that link looks real. I mean, I've reached a point where I honestly advise people to assume that every link they get is fake. We've really reached a point where there's so much bad out there that if we operate on the assumption that it's fake, that might be what it takes to keep us safe.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. So in that scenario, just don't click, or at least until you do some research.
That's exactly right. And research depends on what we're talking about. So in some cases, just do a quick Google search. And we've talked about this before. By simply Googling, you have the chance to avoid a catastrophe, because if someone else has asked the same exact questions you are, well, that just saves you from doing the same thing.
Scott, your advice that you've shared many times about calling companies when you aren't sure about a message, that is so valuable. We have to remember that advice, if nothing else, right?
Absolutely. I really, really think it is the best advice, because if I get a link from my credit card company telling me that there's an issue with my account, I can tell you that I am never, ever going to click on that link without calling the number on the back of my credit card and simply asking this question. I got an email saying there's an issue with my account. Can you explain the issue to me? Can you help me deal with it? Because you'll find out at that moment whether or not there's actually an issue or if you almost fell for a trick.
You know, it's easy to see how people can fall for these traps, but it's getting harder to find examples, and social media, of course, isn't all bad, is it?
Yeah, it's not all that bad, and that keeps me hopeful, Bob. I mean, no matter what, you know, if you look at it as a holistic picture. Social media has revolutionized how we connect with others, share information, and mobilize for causes. It's helped us gather information, and it gives a voice to those who might otherwise be unheard. You know, platforms like Facebook and TikTok and Instagram, they've enabled movements for social change, and they've provided support networks to marginalized communities, and they've even helped reunite lost pets with their owners.
So with that in mind, let's sum this up with some specifics on how we can stay safe on social media without missing out on the benefits.
Absolutely. I think the key to all of these, though, is to stay alert and aware. So my tips are: always verify information before you share it. This goes a long way towards the misinformation problem. Like we said, just Google it, check the facts, and only share from trusted sources. When you don't, you, like Laura was saying, you potentially add to that misinformation engine. You want to be cautious of unsolicited messages asking for personal information. Always try to double check with the official source, and that goes right back to what we just said about calling the credit card company. Then check your privacy settings on your social media accounts to make sure you're limiting where you want to limit it, who can see your post and your personal information. And the other thing is educate yourself and others about these common scams and deceptive tactics. I often said that we all have a responsibility to keep our digital channels safe because we all use them. And I'm never, ever going to waver from that.
Going back to checking your privacy settings, yeah. I don't think I've done that. What should specifically we look for or be changing or doing when we do that?
Great question. You'll note that when you, let's use Facebook for example, you'll post something on Facebook and it'll either have that globe that says public or it'll have the little friends icon that says friends or close friends. It will default to what you normally use. So if you've used the public setting in the past, it's possible that every single thing you're posting is public when you want it to only go to friends. So you can either go into the settings and make sure you have the right one selected, or before you actually do the post, look for the icon and just make sure it's going to the place you want it to go to.
I need to do that. There's no real one trick though, to distinguish between what's real and what's fake, is there?
There isn't. And I will say this, it's challenging. There's no sugarcoating that. But critical thinking is honestly our best defense. Look at the source of the information. Reputable news organizations and official websites are much more reliable than a random post from a place you've never seen before. Always check the date of the information. People like to resurface old news to mislead people because people enjoy misleading people. As hard as it is for me to say that, that's true. And be very wary of sensationalist headlines designed to provoke strong emotions. They often accompany false or misleading content.
Yeah. And once again, the crazy stuff, that's what goes viral. That's what gets more eyeballs than anything else. So people, you know, the nefarious ones, they're motivated to put something wacky on online, aren't they?
They're motivated to do it, but the thing that I just have never understood about that is just because you see something crazy or wacky doesn't mean that you have to instantly hit the share button.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you're starting that misinformation engine. It starts with a click.
All right. I'll sum it up before we open the Genius Bar. Final thoughts, Scott, on this?
Yeah, sure. Here's my summary. Social media can be awesome, but it can also be dangerous and terrible. And crazy to say it that way, but a little skepticism is really not a bad thing. Questioning everything we see online before taking any kind of action can help us enjoy all the benefits that come with social media while still minimizing your risk.
Well said. We get lots of emails and text questions for Scott all the time. We call this the Genius Bar. And today, let's do a couple of questions we got about blocking emails and also blocking private calls. These listeners said that they've been unsuccessful doing that. Any advice for them, Scott?
It's difficult because you have to keep continuing to do what you do. You have to keep blocking the numbers and blocking the emails. But we just spent 10, 15 minutes talking about digital trickery, and that's where this is coming in. people mask email addresses to look like other email addresses. There's the technology to mask phone numbers. People are always doing things to make things look like they are actually not. So because of that, you just have to keep blocking and, you know, hoping that it makes a difference. But there's no way to actually stop the barrage of all these things that come in.
So just don't give up, huh?
You really can't give up. It's not something that ever happens overnight, and that's the difficult part for a lot of people.
Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, thank you. We will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, Bob. Take care.